Our first speaker is Brother John Gadelis, and he has chosen as his subject Matthew 18, A Different Perspective. Matthew 18, A Different Perspective. Brother John.
Thank you, Brother Ted. Today, this afternoon, we would like to present a slightly different perspective of Matthew 18. This will not be the part that we have been studying the last few Sundays, the part of having aught to do with your brethren, although it is partially related. Instead, what we want to do is go a little bit further down into the text and attempt to see what the Lord is teaching us. There will not be really anything that is going to be new that is to be mentioned. However, it might be interesting as to see how we perceive things. We might even get a lesson in magnitudes or as to how we should look at things, a slightly perspective on things. Let us start reading this text, starting with Matthew 18:21, going through the 31st verses. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and shall I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Then he starts after this, he ends up going into a parable, which is, "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him and began to choke him, saying, 'Pay back that what thou owest, what you owe.' So his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you.' He was unwilling, however, but went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you?' And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you, if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart." From the verses that we have just considered, there are several questions that we have to answer. Namely, how much is 10,000 talents? Or, how long does it take to earn such of an amount? The other question would be, how much is 100 denarii? And again, how long does it take to earn such an amount? Why did our Lord have this parable where he did, right after the text of having ought to do with your brethren? And what may some of the meanings be for us? We will attempt to answer these questions in the time that is remaining. And for the first question as to how much is 10,000 talents, we end up having read by various commentaries and also the pastor's writing that this value could end up being $10 million in silver, but worth much more in buying power according to the New American Standard. In reprint 2295, the pastor says it's $20 million. In reprint 3802, it's $9 million. The answer to, we'll skip question two for now, we'll get to that later. For question number three, 100 denarius, the comment ends up being approximately $100 in reprint 3802, and also $16 in reprint 3503 and reprint 2295. With these wide variances in costs, or at least currency, we come into an interesting problem. Depending upon the writer and the time of the writer writing, the answer will probably end up being different. And herein lies the problem that we always encounter. Every time that we attempt to convert currency into our monetary system, we end up losing the meaning of what is being said. The value of money changes continually. So what may be true for today will probably be wrong for tomorrow. What is needed is a common means of measuring value. What would this means be? I would like to give a couple of examples for some of the things that we take as common. Let's say that a banana costs $3.50 in Poland in our currency. Well, for us, $3.50 is not exactly cheap, but it is affordable. It's not what I would like to be paying for a banana, but I mean, it can be done. The real question that we should be asking is not how much it costs, but how long it takes to get that $3.50. If you end up making $50 a month, that $3.50 banana becomes very, very expensive. Let's take another example. Let's use a hypothetical country. Let's call it country X. And inside that country, a pair of shoes would cost $50 a pair. Again, for us, $50 a pair is not totally unreasonable. But if your entire wages for 1 year totals $50, that pair of shoes is very expensive. In other words, one would have to expend a lot of sweat in attaining that pair of shoes. It would take 1 year of work to work for that pair of shoes. That means that there's no food, no clothing, no entertainment, no movies, no gasoline, no nothing. Everything that would be bought during that year would not be bought. You have to save that money for that pair of shoes. So, what is the point of all this? A better means of determining what the true cost would be would not be in monetary units, but more in the amount of time and effort spent in obtaining that item. So we can say that instead of using money, we should end up using time for value, for our consideration. I would like to take a small poll at this point. I'm not going to tell you what the answer is, but how long do you think that 10,000 talents could be earned back then? Please raise your hands. Those that would say less than 50 years. Okay. How about between 50 to 100 years? Anyone? How about greater than 100 years, but less than 500 years? Now we have 3, 4, 5. Let's go for greater than 500 years, but less than 1,000 years. Anyone? 1. And so most of us have got no idea at all. How about if I take a value of saying greater than 5,000 years? Anyone? Okay. We have 3. Well, as we can end up using a measurement of time, or better yet, so what can we use as a measurement of time? Well, our Lord gives us a parable of the vineyard in Matthew 20, verses 1 through 14. And there we have the Latin word denarius, which is, or I mean the Roman word denarius. And Luke 15:8, which is the parable of the coins, is the Greek word drachma, which is equivalency. But let's go over to Matthew 20. Verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with his laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard." And we'll skip down to verse 8. "And when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first.' Verse 9, "And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. And when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, and they also received each one a denarius." We'll skip to verse 13. "But he answered and said to them, to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. But I wish to give to this last man the same as to you.'" The point that is being made is that one denarius a day was the accepted wage for a common worker. We can consider that something akin to our minimum wage of $3.85 an hour that we have today, except that they were able to support themselves and their families on that wage and even save something, whereas today our wage of $3.85 an hour puts the worker at or just below the poverty level. Now we know that the other servant owed the unjust servant about 100 days of work, 16.5 weeks, or about 4 months of work. We'll be using a 6-day work week. Working only to pay off this debt would be 100 days. This amount by itself is not a small amount, but it is not an unreasonable amount. This is something that could be worked off within a reasonable amount of time. I would estimate this time being between 2 to 3 years, paying off one denarius a week or a little bit less than that. If we assume a 300-day work year, 6 days per week for 50 weeks, and we'll take 2 weeks off for holidays and festivals because we know that they had them back then. Using this as a base, we can say that a common worker would get about 300 denarii a year. So, now we will figure out how much time is involved to pay off 10,000 talents. The account does not say whether the servant owed 10,000 talents in gold or in silver. If it would be gold, in ancient times, the value of gold varied to silver from 20 to 1. Alexander the Great declared it as a value of 10 to 1. The Romans declared it between 25 to 26 times to 1. I'm going to use a ratio of 15 to 1 as an average. Knowing all of this, we end up having another problem. Inside the Jewish system, talents and shekels were used both as weights and as currency, or monetary units. We have been able to find the equivalent weight and value of a talent. One talent is equal to 3,000 shekels in weight. The value, depending on the commentary, is between 6,000 drachmas or denarii or 12,000 drachmas. If we use the 6,000 value, we end up coming with a value of 6,000 times 10,000 is equal to 60 million drachma, or denarii. Divide that by 300, we come out with a value of 200,000 years for silver. If you want to end up using gold, you multiply that by 15. That comes out to be 3 million years. If we use the 12,000 value, we come out with 400,000 years, or 6 million years for gold talents. Now, let's say that the servant was paid very well. Should we say 10 times better than a common worker? The time for the unjust servant to repay his Lord would only be 20,000 years. Let's say he was 100 times better. The time would be down to 2,000 years. This is if it's silver. If it would be gold, it would end up being down to 30,000 years of work to repay this debt. Only working on the debt and nothing else. As it is shown, there is a very large, this is a very large amount of time being needed to repay the debt. No matter how well educated a person is, there is no way that this debt could be repaid to the king. Now, one could come back and say, what kind of king would allow a servant to attain such of a huge debt? I don't believe that this is the point of the parable. I believe that the point of the parable is that no matter how good one is, no one is able to repay the debt in a reasonable amount of time or generations. When we try to place into common currency the value of what we read or what we hear, many times we lose the magnitude and the import of what the Lord is trying to teach us. This parable comes after our Lord's instructions as to what we should do when our brother offends us. Peter asks, how many times should one forgive? Peter, being extremely liberal in this case, thought 7 times would be enough. Then our Lord answers and says, 70 times 7. In order to prevent the disciples from counting 487, 488, 489, 490, our Lord continues with this parable, that the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. So what may be the lesson that our Lord is trying to teach us and the disciples at that time? The king in this case would be our heavenly Father. In between, there is a very wide gulf between us, fallen mankind, and the heavenly Father. A large debt stands in the way, and the only way that that debt could be paid is with a perfect life. All have fallen and come short of the glory of God. So our Lord paid the debt, and we have been invited to become heirs to his throne. We will be able to sit in the heavenlies if we prove faithful in our Lord's by following in our Lord's footsteps. However, when we first come into the knowledge of the truth, we are impressed with God's justice. This is good, but our fallen nature and in our fallen condition, we want to extract perfect divine justice for others and divine mercy for ourselves. Therefore, we are reminded so often that do not judge, lest ye be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Our Heavenly Father, in his infinite wisdom, has determined that we would not be able to exercise justice properly. Without causing any harm to either ourselves or to others. However, we could exercise the other attributes of love and of mercy. Let us not fall into the same trap as the scribes and the Pharisees, as mentioned in Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these things are you should have done without neglecting the others. I believe that for ourselves, we should attempt to exercise justice only in dealing with ourselves. In our dealings with others, we should be very careful with our judgments. Our attempts and our judgments could be very, very wrong. Instead, our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that we are fallen, what our propensities are, we are encouraged to the exercise of love, even then, we will fail miserably. But this will be done in the doing of kindness, mercy, and compassion. While we are in the flesh, we should attempt, no, not attempt, but we should learn these qualities. Even if we fail practicing these qualities, we will have attempted to do something that is good. We read the Apostle Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 13, the entire 13th chapter. We will take a couple of verses. We'll take the first verse, second verse. Speaking with the tongues of men and of angels, not having love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Verse 2, and if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains and not have love, I am nothing. So, what have we learned today? One, we have learned that we should take time to consider how long it takes to earn something in time instead of trying to convert it into our current or common currency, which this always is subject to very wild fluctuations. We can say that in paying back of 10,000 talents, it takes a very long period of time. In fact, 200,000 years using conservative measurements, and gold would end up being 15 times greater. The spiritual lessons that our Lord may want to have impressed upon the apostles would be that we should not keep count of the times that our brethren ask for forgiveness. And even if we do keep count, we should also remember that huge and unpayable debt that has been canceled for ourselves. That no matter how good we were or are by ourselves, we could never come close to paying off that debt at all. We should realize also that while our brethren may be struggling and failing in one area, we too are causing our brethren problems in other areas. So, let us boldly continue our journey together, realizing that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Philippians 4:13. And may we help one another, and let us be a helper, not a hindrance, to our brethren. And this would make our Lord and Heavenly Father very pleased in dealing with his children. May the Lord add his blessing.